on meditation, and I'm going to be covering a few things in the next few weeks, but I really believe that this is something that we underutilize. We really don't appreciate how powerful it is to just be thinking about the word of the Lord. And we're going to cover this week a little bit, not in great detail. This week will just be kind of an overview. The rhema word and the graphe word. You know the word graphics? You know where we get graphics from? It's from the Greek graphe, and it means the written word. And the rhema word, of course, is the spoken word. And we can meditate on the written word. What's another name for the written word? What's another name for the written word? Bible. That was too easy? I said, what's another name for the written word? It's the Bible, right? So the written word is the Bible, and we should meditate upon that. And I've been saying that on and on and on all year, and I'm going to say it some more because I'm telling you a secret. It's not a secret, but it's a secret because a lot of us don't do it. And I have to remind myself, too, the strongest, when I'm at my strongest is when I've been meditating. And that's also when I've gotten revelation. And meditation will be part of transforming your mind and also gaining understanding. Just taking a scripture you don't understand and asking God for understanding and just chewing it, chewing on your scripture. And that's when you get understanding and revelation. And also, it's the key to getting victorious living. Amen. It's the key. So we're going to be covering those in the next few weeks. Amen. Psalms 119, of course. What's unusual about Psalms 119? We're talking about the written word, the graphe word. Anyone know what's unusual about Psalms 119? Okay, longest. That's right. Did anyone else? I've taught that before. Sister Janice? It's in the middle. It's the middle chapter, of course. The chapters were put in much later, but it is kind of the middle of the Bible. But the interesting thing about Psalms 119, and you should, those of you been here should remember that, is that it's gotten a very sophisticated name for what it does. It's called an acrostic psalm. Anyone know what that means? It means that if you were to look in a lot of Bibles, you'll see it's broken up into paragraphs, right? And each paragraph, the first letter in the Hebrew of that paragraph is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So Psalms 19 has 22 different sections because it's broken up to actually encode, if you want to put it that way, the whole Hebrew alphabet. So the very first letter of the first word in Psalms 19 begins with A, Aleph, and so all the way down. And so it's a very interesting psalm because it's a psalm that they would speak. Now, the Roman Catholic Church teaches meditation. What do they do? How do they? Any former Catholics here? Okay, Sister Maggie, what do they do? Yeah, but they have a special thing that they use. The rosary, right? And you take each bead and then you say something, right? And that's how they do. They're supposed to meditate. They take the rosary and they say different prayers as they hold each bead. And they, you know, it's a good technique for them, but we don't need to hold a bead. We should have the Holy Spirit. That should be our technique for meditation. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And this is so key and so true. The more of the word you get in you, the more you're meditating on God's word, the less the devil can get to you. That's just the way it is. And yet we just do not meditate. I would really encourage that you pick a scripture a week or a scripture a day and just think about it. Just think about it and dissect it, each word, and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Amen. So I'm going to talk about rhema, which is the spoken word or an utterance. And, of course, logos is the word in a sentence. That is a complete thought. When it says the logos, it means a thought. So it completes a whole nugget. And Anoma means the word as a noun, and I'm probably not going to get into all the different. Of course, graphe, that's where we get graphics from, or graph. That's the Greek word. It means the written word or scripture, or in other words, the Bible. Amen. So all of those words you can meditate upon. You can hear a preacher or a teacher, and you can meditate. That would be the spoken word. Or God directly can give you a spoken word that you just meditate upon. Amen. Or you can go to the Bible and get a scripture. That's the written word. But these are all forms of words that we can meditate. And word is powerful. The Bible says that it's the invisible things that are what? Eternal. You can't see the word of God, but you can see the effects of the word of God, right? It's just like you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. So we don't really use this much as we ought to as far as meditation. We use it as the sword. You know, we will speak the word to somebody, but what about speaking the word to ourselves, right? And I'll be talking more about that later. And then I've got here the planted word, the seed. And you can take a word and you can plant it like a seed, because the word actually is the seed. Remember I taught about that? In Luke 8, it explains the parable by saying the seed is the word of God. That was what Jesus was talking about when he said a certain sower went and sowed seed. And that's why it's so important. I always say, let this seed be buried in our soul, because if you don't, you go out there, you leave church, you're all happy, you're all full of the Spirit, you get a phone call, somebody comes by, someone says something, and takes the seed. Changes your whole attitude. Takes away your peace and your joy, and, you know, gets into your system and just ruins your day. So you have to make sure that they don't do that by burying the seed, by you know, when you're really at peace. It's just like I said, if someone told you all we're going to get $1 million and you believed it, you'd all be smiling. You just couldn't help it. Which of you would be angry and mad? Come on, let me see your mad face. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you $1 million. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You'd just be smiling at them like they're stupid. Like, are you talking to me? Don't you understand? You can't get through to me right now because I have a word. If we have the joy of the Lord, if we have the word of God, that's how we would be with Satan. He could say all kinds of negative things and we would just be, don't you understand? I've just been blessed. I've just been put seated in a heavenly place. It would just bounce off like Rain-X, you know, with, they say, put that on your windscreen and it just beat up. So when Satan, when we have the word that deep and it's, and it means something and we believe it and we trust God, you can't stop smiling. You know, I remember I was a teenager in high school when I may have told this story before. When I got word that I had won, well, not won, but been chosen for a six-week free trip. I was living in London, England, to Jamaica, all expenses paid by the government, going to be, when I say wined and dined, I don't really mean wined and dined, but you understand. It was going to be taken around to all the best places. Do you think I went around kind of depressed? I smiled that day till my cheeks hurt. You couldn't wipe that smile off my face. I'd got it. I had been chosen. Do you understand? You have been chosen. You are a peculiar people. We just don't believe it, because if we did, if we really believe how special we were and a child of God, that God has chosen us. Not everybody has this truth. You understand that? Not everybody has come to the fullness and the knowledge and the grace of God. But yet we let the devil depress us. Amen. So we're going to go into a little bit about the word of God. And the way in is by the word. Let me just show you this. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Think about that. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, science has finally come round bit by bit to the Bible description of creation. They used to say the universe was always the way it was. And then they said, well, yes, it did have a beginning. And now they're saying, well, yes, it was dark in the beginning. And then there was some kind of explosion, and the explosion created everything. Of course, that's nonsense because we know. But you see how the word of God standeth forever. Science is moving towards what the Bible definition of truth is. The Bible has never changed. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You see, 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Well, what he's talking about is getting the word. If you get the word, it's an entrance. And then verse 11 really explains it. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. An entrance shall be given unto you if you get the word in your heart, in your soul." That's such a powerful scripture. Do you want to enter into God's blessing? Into his presence? It says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly." Abundantly. So the way into God's presence is through the word, and the word, when we get it in. The Bible says, "If my words abide," that means they stay, they live with you. So it's not just in here you get happy, but you take something away today and you say, "You know what? Thy word have I hid in my heart. You know, great peace have they." You take a scripture and you bury it in your soul and you bring it up and you think about it. When the devil comes, you just start quoting it to yourself. "He shall never leave me nor forsake me." Right? Even when you're feeling down. Amen. We're going to have a lot to say about this. Revelation says, 2:7 says, "He that hath an ear." Everybody got an ear? Okay. Isn't that strange the way the scripture speaks? "He that hath," it really means just not having an ear, but really getting it inside of you. Because nearly everyone has an ear. So it really isn't speaking, it's speaking about the word getting inside of you. Inside of you. "Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So I'm just going to briefly go over the two things I talked about, which is the written word. I said, what's the written word? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said." That's very important. You go out there, you go into the street, you say, "Do you believe in God?" Yes. 80-90% of people say, "Yes, I believe in God." But here's the point. If you really want to have the rivers of living water, it's as, what does it say? You got to believe in God as the scripture hath said. Simone? See, they want to, as I've said so many times, treat God like a buffet. They go up to the buffet and you pick and choose which parts you want. But that's not how the word of God is. You have to take all of it. In Revelation, it says, "Anyone who adds to the book or takes away from the book, to him is going to be added all the plagues." You can't take away from the word of God. You have to have all of it, even the bits you don't like. We all love the love and grace and mercy and blessing. But there's also obedience, right? There's also, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You have to take all of it. There's things in the word of God. Sometimes I say, "Lord, why did you do it that way? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. If I was God, I'd have done it different." And I try and work it out. See, I'm not doing what the scripture says, which is what? Lean not to my own understanding. Because if I try and lean to my own understanding, you know what? God is going to look unfair. Let's just be honest. Right? God is going to look unfair sometimes. Because that doesn't look fair, God. Why did that happen to those people? Why did that happen to my friend? Why did that happen to Brother Allen? Why he did so good all his life and he died a very horrible, painful death? So there's some things we're not going to understand. But that's why we have to have the word. If I was a billionaire and I said, "I'm going to give you some money," and you believed me, as I said before, you're not going to get unhappy today. If I said, "I'm coming at 4 o'clock to give you a check for $1 million, you'd make sure you were at home. You'd be standing by the, in fact, you'd probably have the door open. You'd be there about 3:45 looking up down the street. And yet God says, "I'm coming back to give you eternal life." And what do we do? Okay, sometime. Sometime. Let's keep going. You see, you have to have the scripture inside of you, because "he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said." That means that's why we have to get the written word. We have to meditate also on the written word, not just what someone says or by revelation, but the written word, as the scripture hath said, then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then, as I said, there's the utterance, the spoken word. That's what Jesus was speaking to Satan when he came to tempt him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. I tell you, when I was praying about the house in Michigan, and I know you've heard this so many times, after a year of praying, I was by my bedside, and the Lord, I got a spoken word that just said, you're going to keep the house. That made no sense. That made no sense. It already said they're going to foreclose and send us all the paperwork. That made no sense. But the word of God, that word has he exalted above every name, above even his name. So whatever can be named, the word of God is above it. If they say decline, you've seen that. They paste it all over that house that you have to get out. They gave you 28 days to get out. And the word of God, you brought that paper and we laid hands on it. And we declared it wasn't going to happen. Didn't we do that? And it did not happen. In fact, the opposite happened. The word of God standeth sure. You know what? Because you believed that it wasn't going to happen. I said, this will not stand. Amen. Sister Maggie. Today is the 6th. It's not too late. I'm coming over here.
But in God is my husband, and you know, he told me before I left the house that I would get it back, and so I've made 11 payments, but I am over $27,000 that I've paid back
in 1 year. In 11 months. You know, when Sister Maggie came, since she said it, it's okay, Sister Maggie. Because you said it. When she came, she explained to me her situation, okay? And we prayed about it. And I told her that I believe God was going to give it back to her. You too. Didn't I tell you that? Amen. You cannot lose out with God. Amen. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And we're going to be covering some of that. So there's two things you can meditate: the spoken word and the written word. When God gives you a spoken word, you can meditate. I'm going to believe it. The Lord said, you're not going to lose the house. So then when I got my decline letter, I was bold enough to call up the bank and say, this is wrong. This isn't right. They sent me a letter saying, we decline, we're going to foreclose. I said, no, you can't tell me that. It works every time. Amen. When you can meditate upon the word of the Lord and believe it. He told me that about a year, it was 6 months later, that it actually came to pass. It was many years Joseph was given a dream that his father and his mother and his 11 brothers would come and what? Bow down to him. It took many years for the dream to be fulfilled, but he just kept on believing it. Amen. When you have that word and you're meditating upon whatever God has told you, just keep on believing it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word, and in the Greek, it's the rhema, be established. So we have more than one witness. The word of God is sure. Jesus said, I don't testify about myself. Amen. But I have one that testifies about me. Now, the written word, of course, I told you, is just the Bible. Look at what Joshua says in verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. Pick a scripture. Pick a written scripture. Someone said there's 7,000 promises. Pick one. You could go through several years without taking the same promise. Amen? You could find a promise and you just keep repeating it. Talk to yourself. Doesn't matter if they think you're crazy. Amen. I'm crazy for Jesus. Joshua, as he took over from Moses, as they came up to the promised land, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I love when I wake up with a song or with a prayer. I love that when I wake up that when I've been, I just start thanking God and start thanking Him for all His mercy and His goodness. That I even have gotten to this age. I didn't think I'd get this old. Amen. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt, look what the promise is here. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have what? Good success. We fight the devil with only half our weapons sometimes. We try and tell him, leave me alone. That won't work. Go away, devil. No, we need to tell him something that God has said. We have to quote the word to him. He shall never leave me nor forsake me. Tell the devil, listen, Jesus said that none shall pluck anyone out of his hand. Now you can tell him, you tell him your words, that won't work. He'll just laugh at you. But if you have a word that you've been meditating upon and that has just given you joy, you know, you can quote that word to him. You know, you may be going through some hard times. You may not have a job. You may not be able to put the you know, how you're going to pay your light bill. But you can tell Satan, just like Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. He was quoting from Deuteronomy because Jesus, God showed them, listen, I can make you live 40 years in a desert with no Pick and Save. No Walgreens. No shopping center, no mall, no place to buy new clothes. I can sustain you in a desert place for 40 years. I can make food fall out of a clear blue sky. I can make bread appear on the ground. See, that's what you have to do, is get a word in your heart that you can tell Satan. But thou shalt meditate day and night. I'm telling you something to make you strong, some medicine here. Anybody here take prescription? I do. Okay, now when you miss it, do you say, oh man, I should have taken that. I got to get back and take it. Do we do the same thing with the word of God? Do we treat it that way, that it is that urgent? Right? I need to get a scripture. I can't leave house without a scripture. Imagine if we did that. Imagine if we picked a scripture and said, I got to get a scripture today. I can't leave this house. Now, how many of you feel panicked when you leave your cell phone? You turn back, don't you? You go back. Even if you almost gotten to where, oh man, forgot my cell phone. And that's just something where someone else can give you a word. There's something more important. We should not leave the house without the word of God. You know what you need to do? A lot of you are doing that prayer closet thing. Should write that down. Do not leave home without it. Don't leave home without it. Get you a word of God. Put it in your, get a belt clip, your word of God belt clip. It's that important. I am telling you, we would have so much more success, so much more victory if we were to do what the Bible just says. You know, we want God to do all these other things and we're not doing what the way He told us to do it. Amen. He told Moses, speak. Speak to the rock. Moses said, no, I'm mad. I'm going to do it my way. These people are getting me so riled up. I'm tired of them. I'm going to strike the rock. You know, it's so much better to do what God says to do. Amen. It's so much better. Now, I'm going to give you a simple definition of how two things work together. Prayer, we know, is what? What is prayer? Speaking to God. Prayer involves speaking to God. This is why meditation is so important, because meditation is actually the other part of the connection. It involves listening to God. Listening either to His word or listening for His voice. So if you're only doing prayer, it's like you're on the phone and you're not getting any answers. You understand? If you really want to know that you've been heard, you wait for the answer. And you say, okay, I got a good connection. So it's okay to pray, and we should pray. But you also need meditation, because meditation is really listening And that is key. If you're not doing meditation, you're just speaking. It's a monologue. You now need to listen. It's when I've been praying and then I stop. A Thursday night when I was praying, the Lord spoke to me. And I just love that when I just get this overwhelming confirmation. The Lord just starts telling me stuff. At first, I don't want to accept it because I think, well, that's just me. And I say to myself, no. But sometimes it's so overwhelming that I start to get happy because I know it's the Lord. I know it's the Lord. When we start to meditate, we're actually closing the loop. We're listening either to the word which is speaking to us, or we're listening to the rhema, which is the utterance from God. And this is the importance of meditation, because it's the other end, it's listening. See, we can think all kinds of things, and if we don't, we can also meditate on negative things. I said we can be negative, we can be meditating on all the problems we got to face tomorrow morning. Okay. Oh man, I got to go in and I got to deal with that jerk again. I got this I got to take care of, and I don't know how, and I've been calling this person, they won't answer. You know, we can sit there and let these things circulate around in our head. The natural man, that's what it is. The Bible tells us that. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, if the thought is not submitted to God, it's under the every imagination category. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can make yourself sick with worry. Isn't that true? You're looking at the situation and you don't know how to solve it, and that brings stress. I saw a study yesterday about sleep. I'm guilty. I'm in this study anyway. And it was saying about different amounts of sleep that people get, and how stress stops you sleeping. You know, you're dead tired, but you go to bed and you thought you were tired and you'd just fall asleep, but you don't. You don't. You just sit there and it just keeps going around. And I can tell all those other people because they're on Facebook at 2 and 3. Sometimes they even say, can't sleep. I think I answered somebody last night. I don't know who it was. Somebody I answered late. That's not good. Sister Maggie, sorry. Amen. 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 But you see, our thoughts can make us sick. If you you can meditate on all kinds of stuff, and the wrong stuff will kill you. It actually produces toxins in your system. That will kill you. And they've proved this medically more and more, because when they've done these drug tests, they give people what they call a placebo. It's just a sugar pill. It does nothing. But the people who take the sugar pill thinking that it does something, guess what? It helps them. That's the power of good thinking. They believe that it's going to help them. And so somehow the brain, the mind, actually makes something happen in the body, even though it's just a sugar pill. They've proved that over. So the negative thinking does the same thing. It produces stress lines, makes your hair gray, have to use dye. Get bags under your eyes. Eyesight starts to go. All right. No amens for that. Okay. Our natural man, look what the Bible says. God says his every imagination. We think, well, that's not evil. Well, it is. Worry is a lack of faith, isn't it? And we're all guilty of that. I'm not standing up here and tell you I don't worry. But I'm trying. I'm on a journey. I'm not worried about things I used to. You know why? Because God has shown me he can take care of that. You know, and it's always the next battle that we face that we start to get shaky. They spied out the land and they came back and said, yes, it's very beautiful, but there's giants. We were like grasshoppers. You know what they were doing? They were, in their imagination, they were magnifying their problem instead of the God that they served. If they had magnified the fact, well, like Joshua and Caleb, they said, well, look what we've already done. Look what God has already done. These giants are not going to be any problem. So you can choose what thoughts you meditate upon. You can look at the fact, well, how am I going to pay for school? How am I going to pay for this mortgage? How is this going to happen? You know, Sister Johnny, I think the reason why the Lord did that for you is because I never heard you ever say, never. You always said it's going to work out. You always told me it's going to happen. And you declared some things against what your eyes, the tree knowledge, was telling you. You see, because what we see with our eyes and our five senses is not the whole truth. You know, as they say in court, you got to tell the truth and the whole truth. What you see with your senses is only the partial truth. Only God is really able to see the whole truth. And the whole truth is whatever he says, whatever he declares, whatever he opens up. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. How do you keep your heart? Well, how do you do that? How would you tell someone to keep their heart? What is the antidote to worry? How do you counteract worry? How do you counteract fear? I'm hearing all kinds of good answers. I'll tell you. The Bible said they overcame him by the what? We heard some testimonies today. Didn't you say, well, if God did that for them, didn't it make your faith go up a little bit? I got to try that too. You counteract worry and fear. Bible says faith comes by, okay, and hearing by. All right, the Bible answers the problem for you. When you don't come to church, when you don't hear a word that's going to encourage you, when faith is not being built, and you just start there on the negative, and you're hearing and looking at your situation. Not only are you physically making yourself sick, but you're making your spiritual soul sick too. Keep thy heart with. How do you do that? By filling it up with positive word. By saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, it's not lying when you're facing an impossible situation, because all you're seeing is partial truth. All you're seeing is what can be seen with the senses. You can't see the thing as God sees it. The Bible in Romans 8 says he calls those things as not as though they are, because he's seeing it from a different perspective. You know, it's like when you're on the ground, you can't see stuff. But when you go up, you go, wow, that's what it really looks like. Now you can really see it. When you get God's perspective, you're in a different location. Amen. Keep thy heart. So the way to keep from worry is to replace it with positive assertions. The written word or the spoken word. Amen. Or if you come to church, there's another thing. You can sing some songs. My wife was telling me when she's driving, if she starts to get sleepy, the way to counteract that, she just turns on, cranks up the CD and starts worshiping. Lest the word, the music starts to get her praise spirit going. Hallelujah. See, we've got to counteract by meditating and using that to listen for what God is speaking to our spirit. Psalm 37:1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. There is going to be things out there to make you fret. There's going to be things out there to take you down, to make you worry. You know, your company may have a bad quarter, and they may start laying off people. My son Paul was telling me that Whirlpool laid off, you know, all kinds of people, but not him. Bible says, it shall come nigh thee. 10,000 shall, 1,000 shall fall, but you shall not see it. And even if you do get laid off, all it means is God's got something better. Do you believe that? I tell you what, I have never lost anything that I haven't said, okay, God, thy will be done. This is because you got something better. I'm not going to look at this glass as half empty. I'm going to say this glass is going fuller. Amen, Philip. Amen. Amen. You see, what he's trying to do is to take away your faith. But by keeping the word, by meditating on the word, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily, that means truly, you shall be fed. Amen. When you can declare some things, even when you can't, that's faith. It's when you can see it, then it's not faith to say, well, I know I'm getting this check, so it's going to be okay. That's not faith to say, well, I got the check. Yes, you can rejoice, but when you cannot see it, and it's the opposite, and they're telling you all kinds of things, you can grow in faith. You need to start with the little things and grow in faith. As I said, even science has discovered truth. Proverbs 23:7-4, as he thinketh in his heart. So what are you thinking in your heart? What are you thinking about this week in your heart? Let's be honest. You don't have to tell me. Had you got some negative things you were thinking about, that some problems, some issues? Now what you got to do is turn that around. You've heard some victory testimony. That's why I do that. That's why I have a praise report. That's why I want to hear positive testimonies, because it encourages me. When I hear what God has done for something, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing. That's why we do this. That's why we do this. That's why a lot of things I said to myself, actually, a lot of things that I've testified here, I've never said at my other church. You know why? Because I was saying, I'm too embarrassed to let people know all the mistakes and all the stuff and the mess that I did for myself. But you know, when I got here, I said, you know, that's so wrong. Because what God has done for me may encourage someone else. May encourage someone else. And so I overcame my pride and said, yes, I was in trouble. I've been in trouble. Have you been in trouble? But the Bible says he delivered him out of them all. He delivered them out of them all. You know, when that happened, my credit score went all the way down, you know. All the way down when that happened with the house. But shall I tell you something? It's come all the way back up now. Now my flesh was saying to me, now you shouldn't say that. Because someone may want to come and borrow something and have you co-sign. But you know what? I'm going to say, the devil, you're a liar. I'm going to put down my pride and give God the glory. Amen. That's what we got to do. We have to be honest with God. Amen. And so we got to stop the negative meditation. And in the 3 weeks to come, we're going to go into scriptural definition. But I'm just doing an overview this week. For as he thinketh in his heart. What are you thinking this week? Are you thinking God's going to bless you? If you're not, that's what you need to start to think. What you should do now is say, okay, pastor says God's going to bless me. Okay, God, how are you going to bless me? Start thinking of all the ways God could bless you this week. Amen, Sister Simone. Amen. Amen. Romans, I think, 3:27 speaks about the law of faith. The law of faith. Amen. So we have to make sure that our thoughts are not negative. Now that's hard. It's hard not to be thinking about all the problems. But if you start to focus on the goodness of the Lord. Is everybody in here above 15? Everybody who's above 15, raise their hand. 15 years old. All right. I said 15. If you're older than 15, okay. All right, so Rebecca, you're the only one. Well, not, I don't think the only one. Okay, I see Cortez over there. But if you're 15, okay. He's declaring he's 15, okay. Well, you know what that means? Somehow you have lived 15 years. I preached about, if you knew your number, I don't know how many of you went and looked it up. Right? God has kept you, so look back on the problems you already came through. I've already been through threatened foreclosure, so that's not going to work with me now. To be honest with you, If I was to lose that house now, it would actually be a blessing. It's costing me more than it's giving me. So if I was to lose that house, I'd almost be, thank you, Jesus. You know, our attitude can be so negative. You ever want to be around some people, all they do is like, you know, you say good morning, they say, what's good about it? What's good about it? You know, we as Christians should be the most positive people. I bet you we would win more people with our attitude if we had the joy of the Lord in there. They'd say, what's wrong with you? I said, well, I got the joy of the Lord. I got the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let's go on. See, meditation, the key to meditation, though, is not to, it is internal, but not fixate on your own problems, but is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Here's one of my favorite scriptures. Looking unto Jesus. So yes, you've got problems. Yes, you've got issues. But how are you meditating? What are you thinking of? You know, looking unto Jesus can fix it. Jesus is going to come through. He's going to deliver me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I've quoted this so much for the joy. How can you have joy going to a crucifixion? How can you get up tomorrow morning and have joy knowing you got all this week of stuff? Because there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. It's not, you're not going to dwell there. You're not going to live in that place forever. You're not going to be going through these things forever. He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We have to endure our cross. Yes, there's going to be issues. You're not going to have no problems when you become a Christian. But you can still have joy. You know, on Friday when I go through the line there, they say, their spirit's a little bit different. Because it's Friday. You never notice that at work? People are a little bit more bouncy. And then Monday, they're like, it's Monday morning. It's Monday morning. You know, on Friday, everybody's a little bit happier because it's the weekend. See, then I'll have some joy. Well, we can have some joy if we understand that our weekend is coming. And if you believe it, hallelujah. I'm going to give you some examples, and I'm going to try and hurry. And I may have used this before. I'm going to give you some Old Testament examples about meditation. Now, Genesis 26:1. And there was a famine in the land. Any of you going through some hard times? Any of you going through some famines, areas of your life that is dry? Look, listen to this. Let me show you how meditation works. Genesis 26:1. And there was a famine in the land. See how the scripture starts off. It doesn't start off all happy and joyous. It starts off, there was a famine in the land. Things was bad. People was starving. Some people didn't have jobs. Clothes was rotten. Amen. There was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into this place. And I taught this before, Gerar. Anyone remember what I said the meaning of Gerar means? Well, it's actually up there. It comes from a root word that means, and it's got four meanings. To drag away, to chew the cud, sawn or roaring. And in this example, it means to chew the cud. In other words, to really taste. Meditate, in other words. So Isaac went to this place where there was a famine, and the name of this place was Gerar, but it means the land of meditation. You know what a cow does? It just sits there and chews the cud. It eats it. It's got four stomachs, and it brings it back up, and it starts just sitting there and chewing it and getting every last bit of goodness. I'm sorry. I didn't want to gross anyone out. But that's how it works. That's how it works. You see, grass is a very hard thing to get any vitamins or minerals out. So the first time the cow eats it, it goes into the first stomach and the juices break it down, but it still hasn't gotten the goodness. It has to bring it back up, and then it chews it again. That's what you have to do with the Word of God. You don't wait till next Sunday to chew afresh. You have to get all the goodness out. You have to bring it back up. Go listen to the tape, go to the podcast, or take your notes and chew it again. You'll get some more goodness out of it. So there was a famine, and this man, Isaac, was told to go to this place where there's a famine. But it was also called the land of Gerar, the land of meditation. God told him, you stay in this land. God is saying today, you have to stay in a place of meditation. I'm trying to show you something here. Even if it's a land of famine, even if you think there's nothing there, he was told, go to this land of famine, and I want you to stay there. And I want you to do something else. I want you to dig some wells. But Lord, there's a famine. You know why there's a famine? Because there's no water. There's no water. Ah, well, you go back to the same wells that your father Abraham dug when there was a famine before. Do you understand? When you're going through hard times, go back to the well. Go back to the well. There's a lesson here that is so profound. So he went into Gerar and he told him, you stay in the land, I will be with you. That's all that matters. You can be in this city of Milwaukee, which is at the bottom of all kinds of statistics that are good, and at the top for all kinds of statistics that are bad. We can be in a bad place, but as long, he says, as I am with you and will bless thee, for unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto my father Abraham. So you can see, I don't know if you can see it, but one of the meanings of Gerar is to chew, to meditate. You know, when you chew upon something, what are you doing? Thinking about it. You're meditating it. Now you may say, well, you're just putting this together. You're just taking scripture and putting it together. But I'm not going to put the whole story, but you will see, and you know the story. He went and unstuck the wells, and he reaped so much that all the people of the land said, hey, we got to get rid of this guy because he's being blessed so much, and it's supposed to be a famine. You know why? Because he was meditating. He was in the place of meditation. And you may say, well, Pastor, you just put that together. I'm going to show you what kind of person is blessed. It's a person who meditates. You want a companion? Put God first. You want a job? Meditate upon the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his business. All these other things shall be added to you. Okay, so meditation or Gerar means to chew the cud or to meditate. And God told him, that's where I want you to stay. God wants us in a place where he can speak to us. Prayer is speaking to God, but meditation is listening either to the written word or to the spoken word, so that we can hear from God what he wants us to do. So verse 6 says that he went and dwelt in Gerar, in a place of meditation. Now, to show you that this was no accident, that this was his lifestyle, and I've taught this before, to Genesis 24, 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai Roi. And I've told you what that means. It's the well of living water. For he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. That was telling you that this was his custom. This wasn't an accident that God sent him to a whole place called meditation, the land of meditation. Because wherever he was meditating. And he came from the way of the well of living water. That's what Lahai Roi means, the well of living water. And he was actually going through a rough period in his life. Anyone know why at this time? He had just lost his mother. His mother had just died. But he was out in the field meditating. And I don't know what he was saying. I'm not going to put words in his mind. But it does say he was out in the field meditating by the well of living water. And it was at that time, and I'll get to it, Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, 7. Now, David also was also a man of meditation. I'm going to put these two things together. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, and talk. It says talk, but in the Hebrew, the word is meditate, ye all of his wondrous works. If you can't think of anything God has done for you, Give praise for what God has done for someone else. He says, talk, meditate, E, of all his wondrous works. Amen. God is so great. You know, some time ago, by mistake, I was in a hurry, and I poured antifreeze into the oil tank. That's never a good thing, right? Never a good thing to pour antifreeze. And I thought, oh my goodness, this engine's going to be like $6,000. It's finished. It's ruined. Well, Thursday, they had been sending me all of these recall notices, you know, stuff that needed fixing. So I finally broke down and I took it to the Volkswagen dealer. And she said, this vehicle has been here before. We have record of this vehicle. And it was very well kept. It's got all of its history going back. And I said, okay. They didn't know what I had done. They didn't know what I had done. And I said to them, here's my fear and lack of faith. I said, I want you to test it. I didn't want to tell them what I'd done. I said, I want you to test it. I think there's something wrong with it. Listen to me. This is what I told them. I think there's something wrong with it. They said, well, what's wrong with it? And I didn't want to tell them. I just said, I think there's something. You better test it. Test it properly. Because I want you to tell me what's wrong with it. As a man thinketh, right? So about 11 o'clock, I leave it. They give me another car and I go to work. About 11 o'clock, they call me and they say, well, we're done. And there's nothing wrong with it. I said, no, did you test it properly? Did you test it? Listen, did they really test it properly? And she says, we did. Because I decided I wanted to get the full thing. I did not go cheap. I wanted them to test it because I need to keep this car. So they did every single test that they could. And every single one she gave me the sheet was green, 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 green. And, you know, I was still kind of stumbling. There must be something wrong with this car. You see how our lack of faith. Give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deed. I'm telling you, God fixed that car because I was sure there was. Yvonne could hear the noise. Didn't you hear the noise? We both said, we got to fix this car. We cannot take this car any long distance because listen to the noise. Listen to the noise. So when I took it in, they said, we've tested every single thing. We put it on the computer. The computer says clean. Every single thing. We've tested the brakes. We've tested the brake fluid. It wasn't no small test. Every single thing, there was not one single failure. Isn't God good? Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. And it says in the King James, talk. But in the Hebrew, it's meditate. Think about all of his wondrous works. Let me give you a New Testament example. I'm going to switch a minute. Of meditation. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and what? Pondered. She was just meditating. Wow. You mean I have been chosen? This is the Messiah? Can you believe it? Of all the thousands and thousands of young girls, I have been chosen? That this little babe that I have is going to be the deliverer, the savior? She just pondered these things in her heart. She couldn't believe. Just as I couldn't believe that the car didn't have a problem. I kept on saying, you sure? You checked it? Did they? And she said, yes, 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 yes. You know, and then when I drove it now, it started to feel good. I don't know if my faith has changed or what. Ponder them in our heart. You know, when God is blessed, you need to bring those things up and sit down and chew it. And I'm sorry I keep telling you my same stories, but I'm chewing on the goodness of God. I remember the day when I was driving up from Michigan, and I think it was somebody, Sister Deborah called me and said she had come earlier. Someone had come early and said the boiler was out and it was freezing cold. And I said, oh no, Lord, what are we going to do? We don't have a bunch of money, and we're going to have someone come out and fix it right away. So we called the emergency. They came, and I knew it was going to be $250 just for coming out and breathing on it on a Sunday. So he came out, and he got it going in like 15 minutes, and I said, oh, Lord, it's going to be $250. And then that very day, and some of you were here, this lady walks in, and she says to me, and she gives me this check, and I don't even really look at it because I think what is this check going to be? You know, I maybe glance at it, and I see a five, and I thought, okay, $50. So she comes, and she says, 30 years ago, I made a pledge to this church, to your father. 30 years ago, and I'm here today to pay it. That's impossible. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. 30 years later, out of the blue, this lady comes in, and I don't think we've ever seen her again. I don't even remember her name. And she wouldn't stay. She just gave me the check, and while I said, okay, thank you. I was so, you know, like, I had other things on my mind. And then after church, I looked, and it was $500. It was twice what we needed to pay for the heating. Do you understand that when you put God first, when you are in His will, when you're meditating on His things, He will take care of everything for you. Mary pondered them in her heart. I'm trying to hurry. Let me give you some benefits of meditation. Psalms 1 verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And what happens if you do that? Ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever, if you're a true son of God, you got a Midas touch. Did you know that? You are really a Joseph. They can put you in a pit, but they can't kill you. They can put you in prison, but you'll rise to the top of the prison. If you are truly a son of God, they will not be able to keep you down. Because the Bible says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's one to meditate upon. Whatsoever I do, I'm going to prosper. God has promised to bless the work of my hands. Whatever thing I touch is going to work out right. If you have that desire, that thought and that belief, trust God and see what happens. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, my mother gave me such confidence. She told me I could do anything. Amen. And I actually believed her. So I was never afraid to try stuff. They put me in all kinds of stuff I've never done before. And you know, with God's help, He's enabled me to do it. You see? Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Let's say it. Whatsoever I do shall prosper. Let's say it one more time. Whatsoever I do shall prosper. Now you meditate upon that. You get up tomorrow morning and say, whatsoever I do today shall prosper. Whatsoever I do today is going to be a success. Whatsoever I do today is going to work out for my good. Amen. Now it may not be good, but it's going to work out to your good. And we know that all things, amen, whatsoever he do. That's one of the benefits of meditation. In his law doth he meditate. I'm thinking about what God is going to do for us. I know some months ago, I told you about it. I was on a Thursday night. I saw these like snow, but it wasn't snow. It was gold. It was a blessing, a shower of blessing. It's going to happen. Amen. I seen it, and it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. Let me show you how you use meditation to fight giants. 1 Samuel 17:37, and I'm trying to rush. Last week I was quick, this week I'm taking a little time. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. What was David doing? He was thinking, he was meditating about, you know what? I fought a lion before. Now that's pretty impossible. And then a bear came, and that's pretty impossible, and God delivered me. So you can use meditation to face whatever challenge you are going through now. As I said, some of the things that used to scare me before don't scare me now. I've been through that fight, and I know what the Lord can do. Amen? I know what the Lord can do. You see, Isaiah 26:3 explains it. thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, that's what you're thinking about, is stayed on thee. Why? Because it's trust. If you trust the Lord, it doesn't matter what kind of storm your boat is going through. If Jesus is in your boat, it is not going to sink. It is not going to sink. Amen. If you could stand with me. I said that meditation is a weapon. That's an open carry. You don't need a license for the state for that one. You don't have to go to any special course for that one. You just have to have it in your pocket. Amen? And by a pocket, I mean in your heart. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. You can't fight Satan by just going, boo. Leave me alone, Satan. No, that's not how it works. But the scripture says, but they are mighty. When you hear what victories other people have had, what deliverances, how God has brought people for them to witness to, what we've just heard this morning encourages me, gives me faith. Hallelujah. It says it can cast down the negative imaginations, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself. Your problem is saying, I'm bigger than God. You're in trouble. You're not going to make it. You can't get through school. You're a failure. You're a loser. No matter what it is, whatever the imagination, whatever your thoughts are thinking right now, we have a weapon. Amen. It may not be quite shaped like that, but it conveys the thought. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, all of these negative things that have been going through your mind, to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. This is just our first topic this week, this month, meditation. I hope you have been blessed. I hope tomorrow, even now, you're focusing on a scripture to say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to get my meditation out. I don't have one with me, but I'm going to get my meditation out. I'm going to make sure I'm packing some heat tomorrow when I go into work. The world may not be able to see it. It's concealed, but it's there. You better not mess with me, devil, because I'm packing some meditation today. I've got the word of God in my soul. I've been uplifted. I've heard some victories from some other people, and I want to go and try it myself. I'm going to do like Elisha. Where is the God of Elijah? I want to try some of this stuff. I heard victories talked about today and some blessings and God doing some financial miracles and some witnessing miracles. Devil, I'm coming loaded tomorrow morning. I'm going to have the whole word of God. I might make sure before I put my cell phone, I'm going to get a scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not what? Sin. You know, next week we will run out of time for victory and praise reports. I'll just have to cut it off, because if you really do this, a whole bunch of you are going to be calling me before the week is out. And acting all surprised like, Pastor, guess what happened? I say, don't even start. I know what happened. Amen. But the mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold that Satan wants to bind you with. Every stronghold. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me, Lord.